Good morning, everybody. We're going to continue in John chapter 1 this morning. Continuing our talk about John the Immerser and some of the things that he did, and picking up where Brandon left off last month. I decided not to continue to go back through his stuff again, so we're going to start in verse 29 and kind of go through a little bit here in something that, you know, over the last year or so that I hadn't really thought too much about this passage, but I think Ken and I were visiting one time and got to visiting about it and got to thinking a little bit more in depth about it, so we'll look at it a little bit, starting verse 29 of John chapter 1. It says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. And I did not recognize him, in order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came immersing in water. And John bore witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to immerse in water said to me, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who immerses in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for this time that we can be together to assemble as your body here in Glendive. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us is encouraged today, Lord, and that we find things in your scripture, Lord, that that we apply to our lives and continue to look to do your will. Lord, I just pray that you be with the brethren who are traveling today and who are not able to be here. Lord, I pray that you be with the saints across the world. Lord, I thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you for Jesus. And I just thank you for your Holy Spirit that indwells us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the main points I want to talk about today, it's interesting how when John here, and John and Jesus were relatives, I believe they would have been second cousins or first cousins once removed, however that works. But when he says here, he says that he came and I did not recognize him. It's not that he didn't know Jesus as Jesus. It's that he didn't understand up until this point, from my understanding, that he was going to be the Messiah. That's what I believe he's talking about here. John chapter 1, 28 through 34 is where we're at. In verse 31, he says, "And I did not recognize him, but in order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came immersed in water." In verse 33, it says, "I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to immerse in water said to me, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who immerses in the Holy Spirit." So, Paul did not know who it was. He didn't know at this, or not Paul, John did not understand at this time who the Lord, who the Messiah was going to be, from my understanding of the passage. He didn't understand until Jesus came that day and the Holy Spirit descended upon him that he was going to be the Lamb of God. Now, he knew Jesus because they were relatives, and I believe that they spent time together, but he didn't recognize that he was actually the person who was going to be the Savior of the world. And so, but what's interesting about it is that he says, in order that he might be manifested Israel, I came immersing. So even though he did not know who it was going to be, he still went out and did his part, right? So he didn't know when Jesus was going to come. He didn't know when the Savior was going to come. He didn't know who it was going to be, but he knew what he was told to do, and he went out and he did his part. And I think that is equal to a lot of the stuff that we read about in the Old Testament. And our next passage is to go over to Hebrews chapter 11. I think that it's very comparable to the Hall of Faith here that we talk about in Hebrews chapter 11. And And I think it's something that we can look for as well. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll start in the first three verses. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the words were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." Jump down to verse 7. Okay, now we're going to read about Noah here. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared the ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." From my understanding, up until this time, there had not been rain. It had not rained yet on the earth. And so when God says, "Hey, it's going to rain and it's going to flood the earth," Noah has no idea what that is. Like he can't picture what that is. But he understood that God told him this is going to happen, and he understood that God told him, you know, build this boat. He understood that he needed to do these things in order to be obedient. So he followed through and he did the things that God told him to do, not knowing what exactly God had in store, not knowing exactly what was going to happen, just knowing exactly what God told him to do, and he went and did it. John did not understand who the Messiah was. He didn't know who was going to be there, but he knew that he was the foreshadow of him and the person that was coming to make straight the ways before the Lord came. He was the one that was going to go before the Lord, so he went and he did his job, knowing that the rest of the job, God's job, would be taken care of. You see, he did his part knowing that God would be faithful in his part. And I think that's a huge part of salvation in Christianity for us is doing our part knowing that God is faithful to what he has promised. Verse 8 of chapter 11. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to the place which he was not received, was to receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac, Jacob, and fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Abraham didn't have any idea what heaven was going to be like. He didn't know. He couldn't see it. He couldn't see that it was something physical he could go grasp. But he understood that he was searching for something greater than what was here. And he went forth and he did his part, knowing that he would receive that crown of righteousness through the things that he did. Now, this is not a sermon about going out and doing all the good deeds, because deeds in itself do not get you to heaven. But deeds do need to follow the heart. Jump down to verse 17. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offered up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, 'In Isaac your descendants shall be called.' He," Abraham, "considered that God was able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type." Abraham understood that God was the most powerful thing ever. He created the world, he created everybody, and he was powerful, and he could do all things. And so Abraham, when he went into this, you see, we think about the great things that Abraham was able to do, and we think about this story, and we think about the amazing actions that were taken, but we sometimes fall short a little bit of what he actually believed God was capable of. He believed that God was capable to bring his son back to life. He believed that he was capable of he didn't know how it was going to happen. He didn't know if he was going to, you know, eventually he stopped him before he killed Isaac. But he understood that if he did his part, God would be faithful and do his part as well. Because the promise was to him, to Abraham, through Isaac, his descendant. So he knew that somehow, because of his faith in God, Isaac was not going to remain dead if he offered him up. But he went through and did the part that he was supposed to do. Verse 13 of chapter 11. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. He prepared a city for them because of what they did. Because they followed him. Because they went out and they searched. They weren't comfortable in this world. They were comfortable knowing that there was something better than this afterlife. And they lived their lives in such a way that they would retain that, that they would make that, they would receive that promise. When John went out immersing in the Jordan, he went out not knowing everything that was going to happen. But he knew what he was supposed to do, and he went out and he did it. Let's go to back to John chapter 1. Hey, Weston, could you get me a bottle of water, buddy, please? Verse 31 of John chapter 1, it says, "And I did not recognize him, but in order that he might come be manifested to Israel, I came immersing in water." John came doing his part, not knowing what the rest was going to be. Now, it's interesting to me the part about John recognizing it, not recognizing him. But then when he actually came, he recognized him immediately. But we have read through some of this stuff, and we're going to continue through, and we're going to see all of the experts in the law and the most righteous people of the time, the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders and all them, they didn't recognize Jesus. Now they were people that should have studied these things and should have understood that he was the Messiah. And, you know, it got me thinking a little bit about, you know, sometimes we think, well, if we would have been able to see Jesus, we might have been able to recognize him, you know, because, you know, how couldn't you recognize that he was the Christ with all the things he did? And I think that sometimes we probably say, you know, they didn't recognize him, they didn't understand who he was. But I think in reality, there was a lot of people that did know who he was, but they didn't want him to be the Messiah. And they didn't want to accept that he was the Messiah. That they didn't want that to be how it came about. You see, they were looking for the Savior, but they were comfortable in how they were. They were comfortable in the positions that they held, and they were comfortable with the life that they lived, that they didn't want this guy that came in and started questioning those things and started demanding more of them and started raising the bar and the standards. And I think it's the same nowadays. It's not comfortable to start with when you get to know Jesus. It's a little uncomfortable because things got to change. Things have to be different. We can't be the same person that we once were. It's similar there's been thoughts before that Christ and his church are compared to the husband and the wife, but I think the husband and wife are following what Christ and the church are. And I'm not sure. But if I was the same guy that I was when I was single after Jane and I got married, I don't think it would have went so well. I think it would have been quite different. And vice versa, if she was the same girl that she was before we got married, I don't think it would have worked so well. So I've done a good job changing her and making her who she should be. There has to be change. And there has to be desire to know him. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Familiar chapter, familiar verse. Great commission. Jesus speaking to his apostles here. He says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying," verse 18, I apologize. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. "And Jesus came and up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Okay, so this is the command that Jesus gave his apostles at the end, and I believe this is a command that was not just for them, but is for all of us. So if we're looking at this, and when we have the mindset that John had, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know, you know, God could come back this afternoon, Jesus could come back this afternoon, and he could come back, you know, 2,000 years from now, he'd come back 10,000 years from now. I don't know. It's not for me to decide. It's not for me to know. It's not for me to look for. My job is to preach the gospel, making disciples, immersing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all he's commanded. That's my job. So I'm supposed to go out and do that. Now, I remember this was probably 2 years ago. I had a Bible study with a guy, and I was kind of the breaking point, kind of in the, well, this is the point where there's decisions going to be made, whether or not he wants to be immersed or not. So I had the study. It didn't go well. Called my buddy Jared afterwards, Jared Adams, and we were visiting, and he had some words for me. He said, "Kyle, it's not always, how do you say it?" I said, "I don't know if I presented it right." And he said, "It's not always about how it's presented. If you got the word out there, it's up to his decision to make. You present the word, and they make the decision. We can't lead a horse to water. We can't make him. We can lead a horse to water. We can't make him drink. You know, sometimes we can't make the water run. But you know. But the point is that we can do our part and let God do the rest." Now, I remember sitting and listening to a preacher for years just saying, "Well, just plant a seed, you know, give him the $50, or, you know, just plant a seed and you'll pray for him or hand him this." I want to do more than the minimum. I want to do everything I possibly can to help somebody know Christ. But we also have to understand that it is not us that convert, it is God that converts. And it is our job to present the gospel to them and to do it well still, not just, you know, "Hey, here, know Jesus." That's not always going to work. But if we present the gospel to them, we have to allow them the chance to make the choice. And it might not be that right now, it might not be that guy I studied with will never be a Christian, but he's just not ready right now. Now, I've presented the gospel to him, and we don't study weekly anymore, but he still calls me. He's like, "Hey, I got a spiritual question for you." You know, so I have hope and I have prayer that eventually he will come to know the Lord. But I still have to do my part. But we also have to understand that not everybody is going to be accepting of it. Turn back to Ezekiel chapter 3. I've often said if there was somebody in the Bible, I'm glad I wasn't. Ezekiel's one of those guys. He went through a lot of stuff. Ezekiel chapter 3. I will start in verse 17. And the Lord speaking to him here, he says, "Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way, that he may live, the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from the righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he shall die. But since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he did not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself." We can go and do our part. In fact, we must go and do our part. If we don't warn the wicked, the blood's on our hands. If we warn the wicked and they choose still to be wicked, we've delivered ourselves, but they have still made that choice to be wicked. Now, I don't understand for sure every time. I don't know what's going to happen to the person that I'm working with. I don't know what's going to happen to them. I don't know what decision they're going to make, and I don't know what God's going to make for them. Eventually in life, they might come around. Eventually, they might not. But my job, like John's was to go out and do his part and let God take care of the rest. And for me, my part is to present the gospel to him and pray that he accepts it. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. It's one of the hardest things we have to accept sometime is that not everybody we want to be saved is going to be saved. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." We have to come to the understanding that there's going to be a lot of people that we love dearly that are going to be in hell. But we also have to come to the understanding that people don't go there by accident. People go there because they make the choice to go there. People go to heaven because they make the choice to go to heaven. God doesn't send us anywhere we don't want to be. He doesn't send us anywhere we don't choose to be. And if we love this life more than we love God, hell is where we'll end up. But if we love God more than this life, we will live forever with him. We have to go and do our part. We have to go and we have to follow his word. We have to follow his commandments and understand that he will be faithful in the things that he has promised. We have to look at ourselves and our salvation and understand, if I have done the things that he has required of me, then his promise is good, that he is going to do the things that he has promised that he will do for me. He will deliver us from evil. He will deliver us from this world if we have followed him. John didn't fully know what the plan was, but John knew what his part was, and he went and he did his part, and he was rewarded for it. Let's close in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul talking to Timothy here, he says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Paul didn't finish the fight. He didn't keep the faith, hoping that God would give him the crown of righteousness. He fought the good fight, finished the course, and kept the faith, knowing that in the future there was laid out for him the crown of righteousness, that the Lord, the righteous judge, will award him on that day and will award us on that day. The little things matter. Our part matters. Let's go out. Let's do our part and trust that he will do his as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the examples that we have of the saints in the Bible, Lord, that did their part, Lord, that did the things which were commanded of them. Lord, I pray that we can go and we can live our lives in a way that others can look at us and see our example. Lord, we just pray that we just look in every day ways to continue to help further your kingdom. Lord, I pray that we always have the mind going to the lost, that that you will work on them, Lord. Lord, I pray that we never give up on them, but that we always continue to work to help bring them to you. Lord, I thank you for the saints here in Glendive, and I thank you for the saints across the world and the encouragement they are to me and to us around here. Lord, I thank you for Jesus, and we just pray these things in his most holy name. Amen.